Welcome to the podcast that discusses the top stories in the world of professional wrestling. Pay-per-views, breaking news, hirings and firings. There's no topic off limits. We'll talk WWE, NXT, and AEW top stories.
This cannot happen!
For the love of God!
Welcome in to High Spots and Headlocks. And it starts now.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Hello, and welcome to episode 3 of High Spots and Headlocks. How are you, Bobrowski?
Well, I'm doing worse because this is the first episode where I can actually see your face while we're recording.
Yeah.
And it's ruining my life already.
I just noticed we both have Cardinal shirts on. How about that?
Yeah, we do. They don't match, though, so we're not twins. So thank God for that.
Yeah, thank fucking God. first of all, before we get started here, I kind of want to say how awesome this weekend is for wrestling fans out there.
There's a lot.
There is a lot.
Last night we had Evolve 100. Which...
Yeah. No, 10th anniversary, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, 10th anniversary. And that had some NXT guys in there that are going back to their roots.
Yep.
We also had the bigger event, I think, which was Fight for the Fallen for AEW.
Yep.
And that was that looked like a good card. I watched the first two matches so far.
Okay.
I'm still working on it. And then tonight we got Extreme Rules.
Yeah, and you also forgot G1.
Oh, yeah, G1 Block 2.
Yeah, so it's been crazy. By the way, a bunch of really big upsets in that B Block.
Well, they had to do something. There's not really much over in the B Block.
Yeah, I mean, Moxley won, but...
of course, Moxley.
Yoru Tanu beat Naito, which is like, that's insane. Like, Naito's their Intercontinental Champion.
Well, yeah, he got a big Jericho match last year.
Yeah, and then Yanu is like their Santino Marella, basically. So, pretty big upset.
Really weird that they would go that route, but, I mean, I don't really follow New Japan, so I don't know much about that, but.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And then day 3 was, I guess, this morning, so. Some more interesting matches there, but Kenta ended up beating Tanahashi, which is, I mean, a huge upset. So,
well, they had to get his momentum started back up now that he's back.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually expected him to win that match, even though I think Kota is definitely the better of the two.
No, Tanahashi, Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Oh, wait, does he have a match against Kota coming up?
He had it in the first day, and he beat Kota.
He beat Kota too?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of crazy.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they need to build Kenta back up, and that's the way to do it. You want to have him coming in strong because he's been gone for so long, and his run in WWE was very disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree. And then the fact that he's already beaten two of their top stars in the first 2 days is, I mean, huge. He's got the lead on points right now on both blocks, him and Lance Archer, for whatever fucking reason. But, wow. Yeah, both those guys have 4 points already.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Probably not the route I would go, but, you know, I see big things for Kenta going back to New Japan, so I'm happy that he's back to where he belongs, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I want him to succeed in WWE, but I'm glad that he's back to where he feels most at home. I'll say it like that.
All right. No, but he seems to be enjoying himself there, so he'll be a star again for sure. Anyway, let's get to trivia, because I think I got a pretty interesting one here, and I think you might get it, but we'll see.
No, fuck that. We're talking about the biggest news that we saw last night. You didn't even talk about this with me.
All right.
St. Louis Blues have re-signed Bennington.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 2 years, 4.4 average salary. That's not bad. I mean, that's a little pricey for a guy who's only played, you know, half a year in the NHL, but
I felt the same way, and it's really going to be a wait-and-see approach with him, because there's some rookie goaltenders that are just so hot when they first come into the league, and then their sophomore year, they cool off drastically. So we're going to see if that 4.4 was worth it, but either way, he helped win us the Stanley Cup. He deserves a payday. He was going to get paid regardless. So, you know, we'll see if that's going to bite us, but, I mean, I'm very happy Bennington is going to be staying in St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing now, though, is you have two goalies that have almost $10 million a year wrapped up. Well, that's a lot of money.
They got to do something with Allen. They got to get rid of that salary some way.
I don't think they're going to. I think that he's going to be the backup still.
But it's just so much money for a backup. Like, Can't we just send him a check and then cut his actual salary down to, like, league minimum? Can't we do some underhanded policy here or something?
I mean, I've got, like, a Red Robin gift card that Jess gave me a while ago. I mean, I think that's, like, $25. If we give him that, and, I mean, honestly, man, that might do it.
Like, hey, you know, go home. I'm going to go back to this gift card real quick. I'll be Jordan Bennington for a $25 Red Robin gift card. Let's do this. Let's make this happen. Give me that gift card.
Yeah.
I'll be goaltender.
Yeah, you can do it.
I got this. I'm big. I can cover most of the net just standing there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that commercial with the seal as the goaltender. That's pretty much you.
Well, fuck you too. All right, let's get to trivia, you fucking asshole.
Go ahead and go first.
Okay, so mine is going based on the biggest news that happened, which is Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff. So I went around that.
Our main topic, by the way.
It is our main topic. Where do you get to it? Okay. But who did Shane Douglas beat in the NWA title tournament before he drew it down and declared himself ECW Extreme Championship Wrestling Heavyweight Champion?
Okay, I think it was... Okay, can I ask for a hint here?
No.
Come on. It's a really subtle hint. If you can choose the answer or not. Was it a one-on-one match or a three-way dance?
It was a one-on-one match.
Okay, so then the answer is Too Cold Scorpio.
Fuck! I'm throwing you some softballs lately, and I need to throw some curveballs at you.
Well, I thought, for some reason, I thought it was the three-way match at first, because, I don't know, for some reason I did, but, and then whenever you said it was a single, it's like, okay, it is Too Cold Scorpio, for sure.
What's this three-way that you're thinking of? Sabu and,
It was Terry Funk, him, and,
Sabu?
Sabu, yeah. Which, by the way, did you hear that the network is going to be releasing a whole bunch of 90s ECW main events? Like, ECW pay-per-views before they were pay-per-views?
Really?
Yeah. It's going to include that one, too.
The one that's awesome.
Yeah. It's like all in 94 and 95 before they did their first barely league.
Right, so basically when they became Extreme Championship Wrestling.
Yeah, but it has, I mean, there's a couple shows, because I saw the cards for all of them. I think there was like 10 or 11 shows they're releasing.
Okay.
Really good cards, like very, very, very good. So be excited about that.
I am excited about that. That's great.
All right. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. So mine has to do with the Royal Rumble match. So, I mean, obviously there's a lot of hints for Royal Rumble matches because they always have those Rumble by the numbers, you know, before the match starts.
Yeah, but it's not Royal Rumble season, so I don't remember any of those.
Okay. Well, this one in particular is about guys who were eliminated, or no, I'm sorry, never entered the Royal Rumble match, but were due to. So for whatever reason, they weren't able to enter the match.
If fuck.
Or they got sick or whatever.
I'm fucking this one up.
So
Andy Skinny 2-0.
Just to let you know, there is 14 different people that did not enter the Royal Rumble match for whatever reason. Okay.
You're a douchebag.
I need you to name five.
Oh my God, there's no way I could name three.
Dude, come on, think about it. There's like a few that were recent too. Come on.
This Axel.
Yeah.
That's the only one I remember.
There's one from this year.
Oh God. Lana.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's two.
Uh-huh.
Oh shit. There's you're a douchebag, I'm just saying.
Dude. Like literally like three or four of these are really recent. You should know.
No, I shouldn't. I have a really bad memory.
Ugh.
Let's see. I'm gonna go with Jerry the King Lawler?
Nope.
Okay, what about Doink?
Nope.
Santino?
Nope.
Titus O'Neil?
Nope. Alright, that's enough of that.
I hate you. That was right. Name five, really?
Dude, I could easily name five. Come on.
Okay. Name all 14.
Okay. The first one was Macho King Randy Savage in 1991.
Would never remember that. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's whenever he costed Ultimate Warrior the championship, and so then he ran off and left the building.
Oh, that's nice.
94, Bastion Booger actually no-showed because he had food poisoning.
Okay.
98, Skull from DOA no-showed because he was attacked by the Los Boricuas.
I forgot Skull even existed. Go on.
Yep. Spike Dudley. He was attacked on the ramp by Kane in 2004.
Would never remember that.
2005, Scotty Tuhati was attacked on the ramp by Muhammad Hassan.
Okay.
Hornswoggle in 2008. Let's see. Hold on. He was not brought to the ring and towards the end of the match, and then Mark Henry ended up attacking him, and Finley saved him, so he never actually entered the match.
Okay.
And then Curtis Axel, who you named, 2015. And then we go back to their numbers were stolen, okay, because there's a bunch of wrestlers where numbers were stolen.
Oh, my God.
Mosh was stolen by Mabel.
Okay.
1999. 2001, Lowdown was supposed to be in the match, but Vince McMahon gave their spot away to Drew Carey.
Okay.
2004, Test was supposed to be in the match, but then was attacked by Mick Foley, who then entered the match.
I thought you were going to say he was attacked by steroids.
No. Nunzio, in 2005, got his number stolen by Kurt Angle.
That's a good steal right there.
Yep. Ty Dillinger was supposed to be in 2018, and the number 10 entrant again.
I almost said Ty, too.
Yep. And then Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn beat him up.
Smart move. And
the last one you didn't get was R-Truth last year, who was supposed to be number 30, and Nia Jax attacked him.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that they did two of those in the same year.
Yeah.
All right, well, that was a garbage question, so I'm glad we did that.
It was fair, okay?
I mean, if you call garbage fair, then yeah, that's fair.
No, whatever.
I want you to take a drink of that Gatorade and choke on it. That's what I want right here. Powerade.
Cheers to you. Sponsor. Powerade. Yeah. Powerade, the new sponsor for High Spots and Headlocks. Fruit punch flavored. Delicious.
Oh, gross. You picked the worst flavor.
False. Best flavor.
Get the grape.
Grape? You can fucking suck my ass. Grape sucks.
I'm never going to do that, so you can keep that ass to yourself.
Let's talk about some news, huh?
Oh, I say we go straight into the big news from yesterday.
Let's do it.
All right, so on a scale of 1 to 10, how shocked were you that Jeff Hardy got arrested in public, being drunk in public?
I'm going to go -5 on this one because he is obviously been arrested before for stuff like this.
Never drunk in public, though. It's always been like
public. No,
driving or, you know, stupid other stuff. But this is probably the tamer of his arrests.
Yeah, no, honestly, I don't think it's going to affect anything in WWE because they already came out with a statement saying he's in charge of his own actions or whatever.
Yeah, so, I think what WWE needs to do is just make sure that everything's going okay. I mean, the guy's on vacation. He's recovering from injury. So, I mean, he's living up a little bit, and I can't fault the guy for that. Just maybe be a little bit more careful about where or who you do it around.
Yeah, he's got some issues, that's for sure. And then if you watch the Hardy special on the WWE Network, did you watch that?
Yeah, I watched it at your house. Yeah. The night that we went to do board games and drinking.
Oh, okay.
I fell asleep watching it, but I watched the whole thing before I fell asleep.
Oh, okay. So basically we in that special they were just saying, "Oh, how fucked up they were in the past, and they ruined their chances, and oh, they're clean now, and they're not going to do anything."
Yeah, watching now is probably not the best thing to watch right now.
Yeah.
I would maybe take that off the network for a little bit.
And I'm pretty sure since then, not only has Jeff Hardy been arrested for being a drunk, but he's also got a DUI since then, so...
No. He got the DUI right before the special came out.
Okay.
All right. That's when they made the special, was after he got the DUI, so...
Gotcha.
It's featured in that, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. Okay. My fault.
Yeah, but either way, I mean, this is strike number 7 for Jeff Hardy with the WWE when it comes to personal issues with drugs or alcohol, so...
But you know what? He still draws, though. They're going to keep him. He still draws.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a different world now. 10 years ago, he'd probably be fired because they had the free strikes rule. Now they don't really lean on that as much. The Usos got DUI earlier this year, and then they won the tag titles a week later. So it's not really the end of all careers it was, but they just got to be careful with how they spend it because they are still a publicly traded company, and people are still going to blame them for stuff like this.
Well, they are, but you also got to think too, this is 2019 when you have competition now. So now you have all these other, I mean, he had Impact at the time, I guess, but now you have AEW and you have, a lot of other places that you can go to. So if I was them, I wouldn't do any sort of releasing anytime soon.
Oh, they're not releasing him. There's no way he gets released from this.
Yeah.
In fact, by the time he gets back to TV, it's arguably forgotten, so it doesn't even really matter. If he were on TV, we wouldn't see him for a while. Yeah. I think that they would pay him to go home for a couple months, say that he went to rehab or something, and just let him chill. But at this point, nothing's going to come of it. He might get a fine. That's about it.
Yeah, I think that's probably about it. And plus, he's already recovering anyway, so he's not going to be on TV
for a while.
So, yeah, no, there's not going to be much happening. And then I wanted to kind of also mention before we got to, we have a couple other news stories, but John Morrison, John Hennigan, Johnny Impact, whatever you want to call him, is done with Impact Wrestling now.
So with him being done with Impact, do we see Johnny Elite?
I was going to ask you about that.
Do we see Johnny Raw or Johnny SmackDown?
Johnny SmackDown actually has kind of a ring to it.
It does have a ring to it. Johnny Raw, not so much, but...
No,
Johnny SmackDown. I mean, he used to be Johnny Nitro with Eric Bischoff. Maybe there's a partnership reforming there.
There could be. Johnny SmackDown, that would be interesting. I can definitely see that happening, but could you see him in AEW more? That's the question.
I think I can. I mean, that's the platform he probably wants to be on right now because... Right. That's a roster that has a whole bunch of guys that he's used to working with already. And it's on a bigger stage now. He could definitely elevate himself to be a bigger presence than what his recent Survivor fame, which we love Survivor. With his recent Survivor stunt, though, that could be some good mainstream coverage for AEW, too. So,
yeah.
I feel like that's something that they might want to latch on to because... You never know. I mean, people that liked him on Survivor, and he actually played a really good game.
He did.
People that like Survivor might want to tune in to see what Johnny Elite, Impact, SmackDown, Mundo, whatever you want to call him, can do. So,
I honestly think he'd be better in AEW, but...
Absolutely. He could get lost in a shuffle in WWE.
Yeah, but I can see WWE throwing out some major cash trying to get him on... I mean, that would be kind of cool to have him on the debut episode of SmackDown in October, though, wouldn't it?
It would, and Fox would love that mainstream attention as well, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but you're right. I think he would do really well in AEW, for sure.
But the question is, does he really find anywhere to place in AEW right now? They already have such a roster that they want to focus on.
Yeah, well...
A lot of people right now, honestly.
You know what, and I guess we could have talked about this at a later time, but one thing I think AEW needs now with their roster expanding a little bit is a mid-card title, and I think that's going to happen eventually.
Oh, yeah, it will. We don't have any titles right now, Eyehausen. I mean...
No, you have they already said they were going to bring the women's title into All Out, and the tag title tournament starts at All Out, so...
Right, and the world title gets...
Yes.
No, gets the first champion at All Out. But the thing is, right now, there are no champions that are crowned. So therefore,
right now,
the titles, to me, are inactive until you have the first champion.
I don't think it's coming anytime soon, for sure.
Yeah, they'll be soon. But right now, it's just exhibition matches and gain position for those title matches.
All right, do you want to talk about the club re-signing?
Yeah, so this was kind of a shock to me because, honestly, I thought for sure they're going to go back to Japan or even show up in AEW, but the Good Brothers, two-thirds of the current club, have re-signed with the WWE for 5 years, which probably makes them end their career or, you know, before they have their one last farewell tour with the WWE. So, good for them. They got paid, and I'm sure they got paid very well because they're trying everything they can do to stop people from going to AEW right now. So, as long as they're pushed like they have been in the last couple of weeks, I feel like this is going to be a really good thing.
Oh, no doubt about it. I think if you've got the club and a heel AJ Styles, that's going to be great. I just hope they do it better than last time.
They have to do it better than last time. Last time was like a taste of what they could do. They were together for like 2 months before they broke them up. And that was because of a brand split. And they wanted to push AJ as a face, which made sense at the time. But now we got AJ as a fresh heel. You have the heel club. And I kind of want to see them bring Finn back in too.
That would be interesting. That would be definitely interesting. I kind of want more people to join too. I need more than three, I think.
I think so too. But that's why I want Finn in. So here's what I think they should do with this. They should have Finn come out and just beat down Ricochet tonight at Extreme Rules. Because if they did that, you could have it to where AJ doesn't win the U.S. title because, like, they did the beatdown instead or something.
Yeah.
And now you have the Intercontinental Champion. You have the guy that could win the world title basically at any time. And then you got a solid tag team. Plus, if Finn's on SmackDown, you could have him recruit another tag team or something. And then you have the club on both shows wreaking havoc.
Yeah, I think having AJ Styles as the head of Raw and then Finn as the head of SmackDown for the club would be awesome. I don't know who you would put with Finn on SmackDown, but...
I got two perfect people for this. You ready for it?
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas.
Get the fuck out of here.
The B team now going to be the C team, the club.
Do yourself a favor and just throw yourself through that window behind you right there.
Anything to get Curtis Axel more TV time.
Oh, yeah. No way.
No, but in all seriousness, is Offers of Pain on SmackDown now? Because that would be good.
That, you know what? That's a great call. I like that.
You want to have the enforcers look thin. And I think that would be something to give them some direction, because right now they aren't really doing much.
Okay.
I like to play Booker.
That would be really cool.
Yeah. So that's an idea for it, but who knows?
Yeah, and honestly, one more thing about the club, though. I think what they did here was pretty brilliant. I mean, they pretty much said they weren't going to sign. They probably made themselves as a bargaining chip to get more money.
Absolutely did, Eyehausen.
Which is pretty much what's happening with the Revival, too. But I really think the Revival is leaving, but, I mean, that's what they could be doing. Who knows?
I think the Revival's leaving. I think WWE's doing everything they can to not make them leave. But I think the Revival's leaving. I think they see the grass is greener outside and they want out.
Yeah.
Okay. At the current time, I think that WWE has shown that they have committed themselves to a tag team division a little bit more. I think they've been on the tag division for the Revival and the Usos, at least. And I mean, Heavy Machinery and Eric and Brian, and then
New Day.
What? New Day, yeah. They're all prospering in the tag division on SmackDown right now. So
yeah, it's just not the same, man. It's really hard to compare the tag team division in WWE to the tag team division in like AEW, for example. Where the matches are so like high quality, you're not going to have high quality matches. You might have build up storylines, but they're not going to have time.
You're not going to have high quality matches. I mean, we're not that far away removed from the match with New Day and the Usos. I think it was in the Hell in Cell.
There was a few matches actually.
They were putting on four or five star matches every pay per view for a while.
Yeah, well, they were given time.
I don't think you're right about that. And I'm already seeing some holes with AEW with the 1.25 events I've seen so far.
Like what?
Well, I mean, it's basically Lucha Bros versus Young Bucks at every pay-per-view, right? They just challenged them for a ladder match at All Out.
Yes, that sounds awesome, by the way.
It sounds awesome, but it feels like there's Lucha Bros and Young Bucks who fight each other pretty much every pay-per-view. And then you have SCU and Best Friends and Dark Order and Private Party, and that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, but they only have one show. WWE has a lot of shows, but they have one show, so they can only have so much talent on that one show.
That's what I'm saying, though. They're not using all that talent. They're putting, like, basically 3 or 4 teams in a match, and then they're having Lucha Bros versus Young Bucks expanded.
Well, I'm fine with it as of now because those are the two best tag teams. So,
but shouldn't the two best tag teams be fine for the tag titles when the tag team tournament happens and not blowing their load early with all these matches before that?
No.
Okay. I was fine with it when it was at the All In, because that's like their first big pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Then they had a Fyre Fest again and a 6-man tag, but still was there. And that was okay, but now we have a ladder match, and it's still not for titles or anything. It's just another exhibition. Like,
no, it's for tag team titles, I thought, right?
No. The tag team titles are going to be in the tournament.
I thought it was the AAA tag team titles.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think so.
It might be.
Yeah, anyway. We're getting off topic here. Let's do some... Let's do some predictions for Extreme Rules.
Okay, let me get my photos up here because I took photos of the card.
Okay, because I literally don't have any idea what the match.
Yeah, no, you're never prepared. I got it.
But I will say there's a few I know and there's a few I'm actually excited to watch. So I'll just throw that out there.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
I don't like about this app we're using is we don't have a time, so I have no idea how long we've been talking.
Right, I know. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah.
So anyway, going on to the card. Yeah. First match, this guy was looking for a fight, and he's going to get it. Aleister Black versus Cesaro.
So I kind of like the build-up here, but I'm not convinced they're going to give these guys 10 to 15 minutes, right? This almost has to be, like, they're only going to give them, like, 6 or 7 minutes.
Yeah, I was thinking like five. You're going to showcase some of Aleister Black's moves because it's essentially a re-debut.
Yeah.
It's pretty much like, hey, we decided, you know what? He's going to come back as a singles wrestler now, but we're going to build her up for 8 weeks. Here he is. Now we're going to showcase his moves. Have him pretty much squash Cesaro. And then go from there.
Okay. And that's what I'm thinking is going to happen. I think for sure, I mean, obviously, this is Aleister Black's win. But
yeah.
How long do you think it's going to go?
5 minutes after entrance.
Wow. Real short.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, we both pick Aleister Black on this one, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think there's really a choice here. I love Cesaro, but this is Aleister Black's time, so
yep.
Let's give him a win.
Yep.
All right. The second match, and probably going to be part of the pre-show because WWE, is for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. Oh, I'm sorry, the Raw Tag Team titles. It says SmackDown here, but it's actually Raw. It's going to be the Revival versus the Usos. Who do you got?
And the Revival are the tag champs, correct?
They are.
Okay, I am going to go Revival.
Yeah, I think they just won them. I think they get the win here. I've seen the Usos as champions like 8-9 times, I think.
Yeah, so, possibly maybe some Shane interference. I don't know, maybe.
Well, not Shane, but maybe Drew or Elias.
Okay.
Because they're kind of semi in that faction, right?
Yeah, they are. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that they cheat to win, but they win.
Okay. Okay.
This match has the potential to be good, but we'll see. Last man standing match. Braun Strowman versus Bobby Lashley.
I think this is going to surprise you. I think this is going to be a good match. And I think Braun Strowman is going to win. I think he needs to win. But, yeah, and I think it'll be better than you think. Braun Strowman, let's do this.
One of the news articles I saw yesterday was that it seems like they're going to try to re-up that push with Braun Strowman. So if they're going to build Braun Strowman back to a monster again, the way to do it is to have him obliterate Bobby Lashley. However, they have an opportunity here to build both guys and still make both guys look strong. So I'm going to go ahead and predict the first ever no contest for Last Man Standing as both guys fail to reach their feet at the count of 10 after some amazing, powerful spot that kills both guys, basically.
Also, that's not the first ever time, let's be honest.
It's not?
No, Shawn Michaels and Triple H, Royal Rumble 2004 or 2005, I think.
Okay, you're right. I forgot about that, but that was a fantastic finish.
Yes, it was.
If you're going to go with this, it's been long enough that I forgot about that until you mentioned it.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's the right move. That way they built up Lashley with that quick win over Ray on Raw this week, so I feel like that's the right move. That way you have two monsters instead of one. They can have the blow-off match at SummerSlam, which is where they like to blow off feuds anyway. And then you still have Monsters album instead of just Strowman getting the win altogether.
Okay. I can see that happening. I'm still going to go Strowman, though, so at least we have a difference of opinion on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a safe pick to go Strowman, and I normally would, but I just feel like it's better to do a draw here.
Okay. What we got next?
Next is the U.S. title match with the newly reformed club leader AJ Styles face off against the champion Ricochet.
Yep, this is the one I'm excited about. And this is the one I'm probably going to be tuning in tonight to watch for sure. I really want to see this match. Should be fantastic. I was kind of torn here on who's going to win because Ricochet just won the title. I wouldn't think he's going to drop it in his first title defense or his second? I don't know.
Second.
Okay. Because I think his first was against AJ Styles too, right?
Yeah, it was. It was on Raw.
So, man.
He gave him a non-title. Then he defended the title and One.
I am going to say, you know, I originally was going to say AJ, but I think I'm going to say Ricochet here.
This is the hardest one to pick, I think, out of the whole card, because you got someone that they're wanting to build as the future, and he's from Walton, Illinois, by the way, Ricochet.
No, he's not. He's from Paducah, Kentucky.
No, but he was in Alton, Illinois then.
Oh, he lived there for a time?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
He went to high school there or something? I don't know. Look it up.
I'll look it up right now while you're talking.
Look. Anyway, so you got Ricochet, who just became champion, against Styles, who just reformed the club and probably the number one heel on Raw now, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's really hard to pick. I mean, I feel like Styles should win based on what's happening, but Ricochet should keep the title because he's a fresh champion. He just won it. So, God, I'm going to go Ricochet, but really they could go either way and we're going to be happy. It's going to be a great match. Give him 25 minutes.
Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking he's going to – it's going to have to be like some sort of DQ or something because – they're high on both these guys, obviously, and I don't think they want him to lose the title. So I'm just going to say Ricochet by DQ.
Yeah, that's smart. Ricochet by DQ, and then Finn, you think he comes out to set, like, even it up, and then he turns on Ricochet and joins the club.
Hmm.
I'm booking it. He's still nothing else on the card. They have to do something. And that way they could swap Nakamura and Finn. They could make Nakamura face again, bring back his music, and have him feud with Finn on SmackDown, which they started on this week.
Also, I just looked up Ricochet on Wikipedia.
Yeah?
As long as you didn't enter it in on Wikipedia, which I wouldn't doubt you would, he was born October 11th, 1988, in Alton, Illinois.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. Michael Gringery's been talking about on Facebook for like last month. He keeps mentioning it, so I decided to bring it up. You're welcome.
Hmm. So he's billed from Paducah, Kentucky, but he was born in Alton, Illinois. He currently lives in Orlando. How about that?
How about that? All right.
What do you got?
What?
What do you got next? Let's go.
We got the SmackDown Tag Team titles. Triple Threat, Freeway Dance, however you want to call it. Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan versus New Day, Big E, and Xavier Woods, and then Heavy Machinery.
Yeah, I'm going to go I'll go Bryan and Eric Rowan retain.
I'm going to go, because I was going to pick them, but I don't want to pick the same team you pick every single time.
All right.
So I'm going to go ahead and go with the upset, Heavy Machinery.
Yeah, that could happen.
Otis is getting over pretty good right now.
Yes, he is.
I feel like now will be a good time for Daniel Bryan to go back into singles because he has someone he can feud with new face Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Once Shane gets back, so build him up as a single star, then give him Kevin Owens. I think that'd be a great feud to highlight SmackDown. And you know what? Heavy Machinery, they're getting over right now. Otis especially, not so much Tucker, but Otis is getting over with the crowd like crazy, and I think they reward them with their first tag team titles.
Yeah, they're way more over, and honestly, they're way more over in WWE than they were in NXT, so good for them. But I don't know, man. I can see it happening, and I would like to see Bryan as a single star, but they're gonna really push this Owens and Shane McMahon thing for a while, I think.
I don't think it's going to be as long as you think. I think you have Owens feud with him for like a month or two and then drop it and just go with the face push.
We'll see what Bischoff goes with.
Yeah. I mean, Bischoff does like to go with the corporate stuff too, so who knows.
Yeah.
All right, next is probably going to be on the pre-show because they hate the Cruiserweights. Cruiserweight champion Drew Gulak versus Tony Nese.
Drew Gulak, Bobrowski.
Gulak.
And Drew Gulak is going to win.
Yeah, there's no contest here. He just won the title last month. They're not playing hot potato with Tony Nese. Sorry.
No. Nope.
All right. This is one of the matches is why I want to do predictions. All right, so we got SmackDown Women's Title in a handicap match. Bayley versus Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross.
Okay, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Bayley's going to win.
The exact same thing I'm going to say. I'm going to kill you for it.
All right, so Bayley's going to win.
Then Sasha's going to come down and turn heel.
No, Bayley's going to win with help from Sasha. Yep. Then Sasha's going to turn heel and beat the shit out of Bayley.
Yep, that's exactly what I was going to say. I hate you so much.
This is the return of Sasha Banks tonight, for sure.
Guaranteed. The way they built the match is obvious. They keep talking about how Bayley has no friends. Well, guess what? Her friends could show up, and then she's going to ruin that friendship.
Yep.
Sasha also was reported that she's bound to return at any time now.
Well, yeah, she's got Eric Bischoff now.
Yeah, I think she's happier with what they've done. It looks like...
Sasha's on Raw, isn't she?
Well, not anymore. They're going to get a soft tosser to SmackDown, I think.
Oh. Well, Heyman loves Sasha anyway. So anyway, she would be okay.
Yeah. She's going to get pushed when she's back now, regardless. So.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, this is what you got to do. You got to bring Sasha in. You got to have that good feel-good moment where she helps Bayley retain. And then you got to have that just dastardly heel turn. We finally get the boss bitch back, and that's what I want.
Yep, I agree.
All right, so next match. This is going to be, I think, the show stealer, which is crazy because you got AJ versus Ricochet, but Kofi Kingston versus Samoa Joe for the WWE title with the terror of Brock Lesnar being able to cash in tonight.
Yep. I am going to go with, sadly, our friend big guy Andrew Varble is not going to like this, but I'm going to go new WWE champion Samoa Joe.
Really?
Yep.
Here's what I'm going to go. I'm going to go Kofi retains, out comes Brock Lesnar, new champion Brock Lesnar. Triple threat at SummerSlam, Samoa Joe versus Kofi versus Brock Lesnar. For the WWE title. Book it now. It's happening.
I think you're wrong.
Okay, well, you're wrong because that is an amazing match for SummerSlam. Two monsters and then Kofi. And Kofi has to overcome the odds to become champion again. That's selling tickets.
We'll see. We'll see. I think you're wrong. But go ahead. Keep going.
But, hey, I would love Samoa Joe to get that title.
I think he deserves it.
But I'm going with Brock Lesnar cashes in here.
All right.
So, next match, and a match that nobody wants to see. No Hold Barred tag team match. Roman Reigns and Undertaker versus Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre.
Yeah. Roman Reigns and The Undertaker are going to win. I don't think there's any doubt.
Nope. Shane McMahon pins The Undertaker.
Get the fuck out of here.
Calling it right now.
No.
And then we get stunners all around from my boy KO.
I think KO is going to be the one that costs him the match.
They could go that route. I wouldn't be shocked. We have a lot of finishes with outside interference, by the way.
I think you might have that. Yeah, you might.
It is Extreme Rules.
Yes, it is.
And they're building a SummerSlam, so it makes sense. So.
Yep.
But, yeah, I have Shane and Drew winning this because why the fuck not?
Okay, well, I kind of like our differences of opinion here on this because we're going to be a little bit different. Are you keeping track, by the way?
What?
Are you keeping track of what we say or no?
I got memory right here.
Oh, all right, yeah.
Which I'm sorry, said it's a shit memory, but I got it right here.
Yeah, I see. All right, what do you got next?
I remember it. I got them all right. You got them all wrong. Let's do this.
Okay.
All right. And now, finally, the main event that we all don't deserve. You got the mixed tag team match. Winners take all. Seth and Becky versus Lacey Evans and Baron Corbin. I can't believe this is the main event.
Yeah, I really don't like how, first of all, Baron Corbin is still being pushed, but I could not imagine a world where Baron Corbin is your Universal Champion. So, for that reason, I have to go Seth and Becky.
You have to go Seth and Becky here. If I have to watch a SummerSlam where Baron Corbin's defending the Universal title against Seth Rollins or whoever, I might just stop again. I mean, podcast over, wrestling over, I'm just going into Montana and living out my days in a shed as a lumberjack.
Wow. So this could be the very last episode of High Spots and Headlines.
Not really, because I'm not moving to Montana, because fuck Montana, but...
Whoa! Our listeners in Montana have now stopped listening.
I'm the heel of the podcast, so let's do this right.
Yeah.
Fuck everyone.
By the way, I think
podcast, y'all suck.
I think one of your relatives, I can't remember who it was, said that...
My Uncle Jeff.
Yeah, that's who it was.
Yeah, he's enjoying the podcast.
Fuck meter needs to go up a little bit, so fuck you.
Well, fuck no. You. Sir, I'm going to take that fuck you. I'm going to turn around sideways, shove it straight up your candy ass. Fuck you.
All right, I think, is that all of them? Do we cover it?
Yeah, although I will say that if Brock Lesnar cashes in on Seth, that's going to be a pretty funny moment because probably going to have to F5 Becky to get to Seth.
Yeah. Also, I'm going to call no cash in tonight.
No cash in. Oh, no. There's a cash in tonight. It was guaranteed by Paul Heyman on Raw.
No. Is Bray Wyatt showing up tonight, yes or no?
Oh, I forgot about Bray. Oh, my God. Oh. Yeah. Oh. I say after the match, lights go out, Becky's laid out on the ground, and Bray Wyatt attacks Seth Rollins.
Okay. All right. See, I am thinking no. because they've been kind of teasing, like, the puppets being involved behind the scenes, like, whenever Miz is walking around. So
Yeah.
I have a feeling his Bray's first feud is going to be with the Miz. So
it would be a good feud?
You know. Huh?
It would be a good feud for Miz.
Yeah.
Bray?
Yeah. So that's what I got. Should we go to break?
Yeah, we can do a break, you know, and you can go fuck yourself while we take this break.
All right. So just to let everybody know, when we come back, we're going to talk about our main topic, which is the new involvement, big, huge news story while we were gone, which actually happened.
This is actually big news, and we're going to talk about it.
It happened the day after we published our last podcast. So,
which makes sense, right?
Yeah. So it is Bischoff and Heyman taking over the reins of Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah. Bischoff's now the executive director of SmackDown and Heyman of Raw.
Yep.
So and we're going to see a new era in WWE. We're going to see two of the Monday Night War powers and of the failing companies take over Raw and SmackDown, the company that won. So let's see what happens with that.
Yeah, so that gives me hope when you say it's the two failing companies.
Okay. To be fair, we're going to go into that. We'll go.
All right, we'll talk about that.
One, and I don't have so much hope for the other, and I've already talked to you a little bit about that.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll talk about that here in just a second when we come back.
All right. And when we're gone, just remember, keep your pets neutered. I'm Bob Barker. This is Ice Box and the Headlocks.
All right, Bob Barker.
And we're back. Welcome to the prizes.
So the funny thing about what you just said is you said keep your pets neutered. And then you can change it when they're neutered the first time.
I don't work on script, okay? I just go with what comes to my brain and I put it on tape. That's what I do.
Keep, keep your pets neutered. Don't let them to get their balls back.
Don't let them win that quest to get their balls back, okay? If they get them back, just neuter them again.
Yeah, just keep neutering those assholes, man.
No balls for you.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, enough about balls. Let's go on to the let's go on to the big news story here. So Paul Heyman is now the executive director of Raw. Eric Bischoff is now the executive director of SmackDown. They're going to have creative control with Vince overseeing everything. First of all, your initial reactions to the news.
All right. So the first thing I thought, initial reactions, were that this is going to change absolutely nothing.
Okay.
It's just being super negative, and I didn't like it. But then I thought about it more. And then the more I think about it, the more I think it is going to change something. And the more I kind of hyped myself up about it. I mean, this is, in my eyes, this is a huge news story that I think we should take very, very seriously.
This was probably the biggest news story we've seen from the WWE in a long time. And we've had 2 weeks with kind of their involvement. I think Heyman's involved with Raw, but Eric Bischoff isn't involved with SmackDown yet.
Correct. Yeah, from what I understand, he is involved now. Bischoff will be starting after Extreme Rules.
I heard it's towards SummerSlam, but yeah. Okay. Either way, Heyman has got his footprint on Raw now, and the first show was incredible, and it's exactly what I thought we would see from Heyman. I was really excited about Heyman because Heyman is the person that took a roster of misfits and he turned them into legitimate wrestling stars.
Yep.
He is one of the best bookers in the wrestling business of all time, in my opinion. And the thing that you can really look back on, not only just the rise of ECW, but the SmackDown 6. I mean, he took them and he created a brand that was superior to Raw, which at the time had all the stars on it.
Yeah, I mean, he basically, what he wanted to do when he was in charge of SmackDown in 2002 was he wanted to get all of the really good wrestlers, the really good workers on his show. Because he knew they were going to be underutilized on Raw. So then what he did is, if I remember correctly, he traded Chris Jericho to Raw for Benoit and Eddie. So as soon as he got those two, he had his six guys that he was going to trust. He just wanted all the good workers, basically. He wanted to push Edge to the moon. He wanted to use Benoit and Angle together. Because he knew he had money there.
And then obviously.
Why not throw the Guerreros back together? So that's what it was. But, I mean, he...
Well, you're forgetting about Kurt Angle.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, Kurt Angle and Benoit.
He wanted
them together, and he wanted matches with those guys because he knew that was going to be just absolute money.
Oh, you were forgetting Ray. That's the one you're missing.
Yeah, Ray. Yeah, because Ray was with Edge. Yeah, Ray and Edge were buds. But yeah.
Oh, I forgot they're attacking. You're right.
Yep. Yeah. So honestly, I think Heyman. Well, I think Bischoff too. I think both those guys are probably two of your best business minds as far as the pro wrestling world. I mean, they know how it works. They know how to have it succeed. They know who to push. They know, you know, the certain matches that fans want. I mean, Bischoff is, and this is why I think, and why you disagree, but why I think Bischoff is going to be great for the business right now. Well, for a lot of reasons, but one, he's really in tune with what the product is right now. Because he was on a couple different podcasts.
Yeah, he has his own called 83 Weeks.
Yeah. So he knows what to do. He's in tune with the product. He knows what's going on with the product. He knows what to do to make it succeed. And if you watched SmackDown, I think they're kind of laying the groundwork for him. The last SmackDown was very good.
It was.
So I really think they're getting him ready for him. But I think he's going to be really good because of how good of a mind the business he has.
My initial reaction, like I said, I was really happy about Paul Heyman. And already in his first two episodes, he reformed the club. He brought faction into Raw, which is why I said they desperately need it.
Yeah.
He made Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman have a big opening match for his first Raw that completely shook the business again, like kind of rejuvenated Raw a little bit with more of an extreme match. And, you know, we're seeing little snippets of the Attitude Era showing up now. On Eric Bischoff, though, my reason that I'm kind of hesitant to be all in on him is the last time he was successful was in 1998 in terms of wrestling booking. 1998. He has not had a successful creative campaign since 1998. And that's when it was faltering. So that's why I'm worried, because he lost against Raw like April 6th of 1998. And then they won like maybe two more weeks out that whole time, but WWE crushed them after that. And their creative product went down the tubes whenever that happened.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I really think he's kind of learned from his mistakes in the past. And I really think he's gonna turn out for the better. I think if you give him creative control over SmackDown, first of all, one thing I hope for sure ends is this wild card rule.
They need to end it. It doesn't make sense.
And then another thing I think they should do is do another draft.
So, I agree. I think they should have a draft the week before the SmackDown debut and then have a hard split. I don't want to see a Raw superstar on SmackDown. I don't want to see a SmackDown superstar on Raw. Make it a hard split. You can still share the pay-per-views, and you can still have inter-brand feuds. You can do that every once in a while. But it needs to be at big pay-per-view, like a Survivor Series or a Royal Rumble or WrestleMania or SummerSlam.
Yep.
You could even do the Money in Bank and mix them in like they have been. That's fine. But it doesn't need to be every pay-per-view, and it definitely doesn't need to be every single show.
I agree with that. Plus, I think Bischoff and Heyman both want that as well. So I think they're going to probably try to – look, I think they both have the trust of Vince McMahon. So I think they're going to be able to sway Vince McMahon on a lot of things.
I think Paul has more trust than Eric does right now. Eric just started. He needs to build a rapport with Vince McMahon again about it. He needs to build that trust because he's been gone for so long. I'm not saying that he won't right away, but I think it's going to take a couple weeks of him working directly with Vince before Vince is going to let him have full control. I feel like he's going to be piggybacked a little bit at first.
Yeah. Yeah, I
just feel very hesitant on Bischoff right now.
I don't know.
I'm like, here's a pen, paper, write what you want. Let's do this. Let's get back to that booking genius that you have. But Eric Bischoff, I mean, the NWO was his best idea, and he stole it from New Japan, so.
I think he's got some ideas, man. Like I said, I think he's learned from the past, and I really think that he's in tune with the product now. That's the number one thing. I think he knows who to push. He knows how the product should work. And here's my other thing. He has a ton of experience working directly with networks.
No, yeah, that's why he got hired. 100%. Right. That is why he got hired, because they knew they were going to Fox, and Eric Bischoff has a very big TV executive mind. He has contacts. He knows how to talk to these people. He's going to be able to produce results that they want from him. And overall, just make WWE look better in front of Fox, because that's what they want him to do.
Yep. And like we talked about last time, if I was Fox, I would be incredibly worried with where the product is at right now, ratings-wise, especially. But with the hiring of Bischoff, it makes me a lot less worried, I guess, because I know how good he was with Ted Turner, and how he kind of created that partnership with Ted Turner. Well, so,
and to Bischoff's credit, I mean, WCW was a dying brand when he became president.
No doubt.
They had, like, no attendance. They had no ratings for the shows they put on. And he turned around. He signed Hulk Hogan. He struggled at first. I mean, given 94 and 95 were some of the worst years in terms of storylines for WCW.
95 wasn't that bad. I mean...
Okay, I'm going to say three words, and then you're going to take it back.
Dungeon of Doom.
Of Doom.
That's all Dungeon of Doom. Look, Dungeon of Doom wasn't that bad, okay? You're overreacting.
The Yeti?
Well, that was stupid, but...
Okay.
The original premise was kind of cool, though.
And, wait, what was, we had the Butcher, what else? Oh, Zodiac?
Shark?
Yep,
and you had Kevin Sullivan, obviously.
Well, that's the Taskmaster.
You had Kamala.
Andy, how do you think that this wasn't that bad? It was terrible.
We had
an event that was Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage versus, like, 8 jobbers.
Hey, listen. If you go back to that War Games match with the Hulkamaniacs against the Alliance to end Hulkamania, it was actually a pretty good match. So,
Andy, you are blind.
I'm not. I will defend WCW 95, at least the end of 95. I actually liked
it. The end of 95 was fine. That was when you started Nitro and you had Lex Luger show up and you had all that going on. I mean, that was good. I'm talking about the main course of 95, which was Dungeon of Doom and all these guys they brought in every week to lose to Hogan. It was terrible.
Well, but the Dungeon of Doom was still involved at the end of 95, too.
Yeah, they were.
All right, we're getting way off track here.
Yeah, we are. We're going to go over under. Okay. How long until we see Hulk Hogan on SmackDown?
Oh, he's coming soon. I'm going to say the debut episode of SmackDown on Fox, for
I'm
sure.
I'm going to say the debut episode of Eric Bischoff on SmackDown.
No.
No, but all seriousness, you're probably right. He's showing up on that Fox show, for sure. And Fox is going to love that.
Oh, yeah.
I just really hope that we don't get like a plethora of Hogan. A little bit of Hogan, okay, whatever. Get your ratings, but let's not bring Hogan in a role, okay? Like
GM of SmackDown, let's make it happen.
That's what I'm afraid of. Dude, we're going back to the TNA days now of Eric Bischoff, and I wasn't going to bring it up, but that was terrible. He had 2 years in TNA. I can't remember one good thing he did for TNA during that 2 years.
Hulk Hogan.
Fuck you. Didn't they get rid of the six-sided ring during
his rid of the six-sided ring, yeah.
And then as soon as he left, they're like, we're bringing it back.
Yep. Yeah, I think you don't... I'm really excited about what Bischoff's going to do.
Hey,
SmackDown. I really am.
I'm really excited that someone other than Vince is going to have some say on the shows.
Yes.
I feel like maybe Heyman should have kept Raw, and maybe, honestly, bring back Road Dogg for SmackDown, because Road Dogg was doing a really good job on SmackDown before he got out of that role.
Yeah, but he's on NXT now with Triple H and Shawn Michaels. He's living the good life.
Yeah, he's not living there. Come on.
No.
Honestly, though, why isn't Triple H getting SmackDown?
Because I don't, to be honest with you, I don't think he wants it. I think he wants to stick with NXT because of what he's done with the brand. I really don't think he wants to run SmackDown. I'm telling you. I bet he was probably Vince's first choice. And then he's like, no, I want to stick with NXT and 205 Live and NXT UK. So, I don't think he is.
I don't know, man. I just feel like this had Triple H's name all over it, and then it was like, oh, and we're bringing back Eric Bischoff.
I think Triple H was considered, and I think he said no. That's my thoughts.
Could be.
One other thing I kind of wanted to point off with these two guys is I think they're going to, and you're already starting to see it, but they're going to bring back some edgier product.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Push the envelope of the PG era a little bit more. And because you want to try to get those young viewers back, you've pretty much lost them. And by young viewers, I mean 18 to 35-year-olds.
Yeah, one thing that WWE did was whenever they decided that the Ruthless Aggression era was over, they were going to PG. One thing they did was they decided to target young kids, okay? So they target all these young kids. But as it got longer and longer, they just kept targeting the young kids. They forgot about the kids that they brought in to begin. And so as those kids grew up and were already brought in, they got bored by the product. And now, those young kids that they're trying to bring in, they're not coming in. They could care less. They're watching YouTube and going, watching people stream video games for hours. They don't care about wrestling. Why would they? They're on their phones all times now. They can't get wrestling on their phones like that.
Well, yeah, but now you have better options out there. So, I mean, you can literally subscribe to New Japan World and then watch like 20 days of straight amazing wrestling at the G1.
Yeah, but an 8-year-old kid's not going to do that, Andy. He's going to go on YouTube and look up how to...
Oh, you're talking about little kids. Okay, no, I get it.
Yeah, I'm talking about the kids that the PG era's pointed towards that aren't coming because they're doing other things. There's so much other stuff for these kids to do.
No, I get it. I get it now. I thought you were talking about 18 to 35-year-olds.
Oh, no, they need to target them. They need to target the... I would say they really need to target from, like, 12 and on because that's the people that are going to watch.
And I think that Heyman and I think Bischoff are going to do that. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, I think they have a good chance now than ever to really regenerate the WWE, to rejuvenate it. And I think that's because they hired Paul Heyman. I'm going to shit on Eric Bischoff one more time. I don't think that... I hope he proves me wrong because I respect what he did in the past. I'm just worried that his last successful venture in creative wrestling was in 1998, and I don't know if he has anything left in the tank, to be honest. He understands the business, but that doesn't mean that he can create new stuff for the business, and that's what I'm worried about. Now, I'm very happy that they went this route still because it's at least showing that Vince is willing to put his pride aside and kind of see what else is out there for him to create a better product.
Yeah.
I think that Moxley leaving and having that interview and pointing out all those like issues he had and then people whispering in his ear what he said, I think that kind of opened his eyes a little bit. And I hope it did because then Moxley really succeeded here. He helped change the business by leaving the WWE.
Yeah, I think that probably, I don't know if it had a big impact, but I bet you more so it's going to be, he's probably hearing a lot of things from shareholders, from the board, from advertisers, from networks. I mean, he knows something's got to change. So this is the first step on making the change. And by the way, if we're talking about making changes, can we fucking stop with this no commercial or no wrestling during commercial break shit?
There's no way this keeps happening.
It is terrible. And the fact that the reason stupid, but they're ruining 2 out of 3 falls matches for me.
They are, though. They're ruining the 2 out of 3 falls match. That's one of my favorite match types, too. Especially when you get to that last fall, because then, for some reason, it creates more of an urgency to get that final fall than it does if you're just wrestling a one-on-one contest.
Yeah. Yep.
One of my favorite finishes was whenever they did the time limit draw with The Rock and Triple H in a 2 out of 3 falls match for their Intercontinental title. And Triple H hit that pedigree, and it goes 1, 2, ding, ding, ding. And you think that he won the title, but no. The time limit draw hit, and he had missed it by 1 second. I love that finish. Now we've seen finishes where it's like, we're heading to Alfred Falls match. Oh, we got the first fall in 2 seconds. Go break. We come back. Oh, we got the second fall right away. We're going commercial break. We'll be right back. Oh, okay, now we're going to have a real wrestling match for a third match.
Mm-hmm.
It's stupid.
It is stupid. One more thing I kind of wanted to bring up with this, and then I'm good with, you know, all my opinions, but I think they're going to focus on pushing the right stars, and we don't have to see the same shit all over and over again. I don't think they're all going to have the same main events, the same matches every pay-per-view. They're going to have fresh matches every time they, or every chance they get, and I don't think they're going to be pushing people like Baron Corbin. So
I don't think they're. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say you're going to see the right guys in the right spots.
I was going to say, I don't think there's nothing wrong with pushing Baron Corbin, but not in the main event. Push him in the mid-card. Make him a heel there and build on that. Don't just bring him into the main event and be like, hey, by the way, this is your main event guy now. Like,
yeah.
The way they did it was totally wrong. It's boring. They need to work on his character more. They need to give him more of a character, more of a gimmick.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yep.
I
could see him as an Intercontinental champion, but not as a Universal champion.
Yeah, I think that's his ceiling. I don't see him ever being a top title holder. I know that's what Vince probably wants to see because he loves some former football players. But
but if you make Baron Corbin your champion, just fucking quit already. I mean, that's
now I will say, since we're kind of leaning off the subject a little bit, but I want to talk about Kevin Owens real quick. Because he's my boy. He's my favorite.
I'll tell you what. Let's end on Kevin Owens. How about that?
Okay, let's do it. So Kevin Owens is now basically Stone Cold in terms of booking. He showed up, well, I'm sorry, he's like a hybrid of CM Punk and Stone Cold.
There we go. I was going to say more so CM Punk than anything.
But he came out, he drove the pipe bomb, which was basically just him yelling into the mic, but I liked it. And then he went to the crowd, came back, stunnered Shane to end the night. I mean, I loved everything about this.
Yeah.
Do you think that he's going to be their number one babyface in the company now?
I mean, he can be. He's good enough to be. In the company, though, are you talking about just on SmackDown or total?
Well, I mean, I think the ceiling's very high on Kevin Owens. I always have. I'm talking about the whole company. I think they could build this guy to be their next megastar. I've always felt that way.
Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns will be your top stars over him, for sure.
I think Roman Reigns has the look, and I think Seth Rollins has the ability. But I think Kevin Owens has everything except for the look. I don't think he has the look, but I think he has everything else that they need.
He's got the charisma. He's got the wrestling ability. He does have a lot.
He focuses on a lot of the little things, which is what makes him so great.
I will say this. I think he's going to be champion again, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like if you don't end this with a face Owens as WWE champion at some point, then you failed this gimmick that they're doing right now. Because he has megastar in all of them right now, in my opinion. And it took him 2 weeks. Look at this. I'm holding up two fingers here.
But yeah, I see.
2 weeks it took them to build Kevin Owens from a heel to a megastar babyface.
Let's cool off on the megastar shit.
No, he's gonna be a megastar.
We'll see. I'm
Bob Barker, and I demand it.
I think he's got potential. This has potential. I really like this angle where it's going.
Okay, so I like it.
It's a wait and see attitude for me.
Okay, well, I mean, obviously, it's only 2 weeks in, so
yeah, right.
I'm a little hyped. I'm a little overhyped right now. But, dude, it's Kevin Owens.
I know. Your love for Kevin Owens is staggering. I know.
It's enormous. I only love a few more people more than I love Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I know. Definitely, it's like Kevin Owens is at the top, and then maybe Christina, and then I'm like bottom of the barrel.
Oh, you're not even on the list.
Yeah, right.
You're on the top of a different list. People don't want to fucking shoot in the face with a shotgun up close. You're on top of that list.
Yeah.
But no. When it comes to love, you're not on that list. You're on hate, despise, torture, want to torture, I mean, murder, kicking the balls. That those are the lists you're on.
What a great friend. What a great friend you are.
The best of friends.
Yep. All right. We got to get going.
What list am I on for you?
Huh?
What list am I on for you?
You're not on a list.
Yeah, that's why I thought.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
We're out. No, I'm kidding.
All right. We got to go. We've been on this for a long time.
Not a long time, but I agree. I think it's time. I think it's been about an hour.
Yeah, it's a little bit longer than that, but okay.
I can't see. It's the timer.
All right. Well,
how about you be a douchebag and you end this podcast?
Okay, well, we will see what happens with Extreme Rules tonight. If it's any good, let's hope it is.
Are you watching it tonight?
I am, yeah.
Where are you watching it?
I don't know. I don't know yet.
I might be going to... I'm not going to the
big guy in Josh's house to watch Fight for the Fallen here in a little bit.
Okay.
And I got to get some stuff done around the house, but we'll see
what happens. Josh's house or big guy's house? Because they don't live together anymore.
I know. I don't know where. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
But anyway,
I'll definitely be going to the Heidemans for the pay-per-view. So.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll see what happens.
I might be there.
Okay. Well, we will see. We'll see what happens here. But
this is a podcast. You're doing horrible at this. Start over.
All right. Well, let me start over. Let's rewind. All right. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed the show, and watch Extreme Rules tonight. And enjoy it?
I'm canceling you.
Okay, all right, and that's it.
Folks, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to be back next time. We don't have a subject, but we'll figure it out.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. Give us some 5-star reviews. Give us all that good stuff. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Get your pets neutered. Keep them neutered.
keep them neutered. Everybody should know that.
Tell Bob Barker I'm sorry for impersonating him. It wasn't me. It was Andy. And you guys... have a fantastic Sunday or whatever day you're listening to this. We're out.